I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
And
what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Wednesday, February 17th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is wild and dystopic. It is. Are we doing all we can do? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, start thinking about it. I have these conversations with people sometimes. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to pray about it? I don't know if I want to unleash that kind of firepower on the world. That's a lot of firepower. So, you know, do not underestimate the power of prayer. It is amazing. It's transformative. And what I have found, actually, I'll just put it that way, is it changes you as much as anything. It's amazing what it does to the person who prays. You know, a friend of mine, I had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, and he said, you know, we were talking about what's going on, and he can't reach his academic friends, and he always tells me they're so smart. They're so smart. And you just can't, you know, make any headway with them. They're just so locked in. And, you know, is this really doing anything productive anyway? Seems like it's sowing seeds of discord as much as anything. So we start talking about prayer, and then he says, you know, after a brief conversation about that, he says, well, you know, maybe my 83-year-old mom is doing more to save the world than all of these other efforts and stuff. You know, because obviously she prays diligently every day. And for those who feel so inclined, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, among other things. And how many of us are doing that? It's convicting. And it's a transformative thing. You know, this, you're calling into action dunamis, this Greek root that we get dynamite from. It's an explosive power, but it's not destructive in the sense that, you know, you're blowing things up, but it is explosive, but I would say in a constructive sort of fashion, if that makes sense. You know, kind of like the joke, I think Kent Hovind was the one who joked and said, you know, nothing exploded into perfection and the universe came into being. Universe, one verse, universe. Anyway, I'll sort of pick up where I left off yesterday a little bit and maybe tie some stuff together, but it's just, you know, some interesting observations. First of all, it looks like we made it through that week of global warming last week, global warming except when it's not, now things are actually starting to warm back up. So now I guess we're into global warming because it's pretty cold. And, you know, also, did you notice that during Barnum and Bailey's greatest impeachment show on earth, redo actually, the Gates Foundation virus magically vanished again last week? It was amazing. At least CNN seemed to think so. And now, ta-da, it's back, front and center. The Gates Foundation virus, it's back. In other news, flu no longer exists. Neither does the common cold or shark attacks or snakes. So, but, you know, coronavirus is running rampant, except when there's an impeachment trial. Apparently, it's smart enough to know when you go out after 10 o'clock at night, and it also knows when there's an impeachment of the president. No, wait, it wasn't an impeachment of the president. It was a private citizen. So who's going to get impeached next? Ronald McDonald? Who knows? Let's see, Rachel Maddow. Have you seen her lately? There's that commercial. Every time I see Rachel Maddow, you know, and maybe this is indiscreet, but every time I see her, and it's been this way for a while, she wears those open neck things. Have you seen the commercial, the John Goodman fingerhead commercial, the Slotomania commercials? Rachel Maddow looks like the John Goodman fingerhead in the Slotomania commercials. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look up the Slotomania commercials featuring John Goodman's head on a fingertip, and then watch Rachel Maddow. You'll see. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm imagining it. Interesting stuff. Let's see. It's still Black History Month. There's an interesting article. There are interesting articles all over the place. But, you know, Thomas Sowell is one of my favorite guys because he were a Marxist. And, you know, it was the only thing that made sense, he said. And then all of a sudden he went, no, wait, this doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't explain things. And all he did was follow the data, follow the facts, follow the science. And you know what? It doesn't explain these things. And that's why, as Walter E. Williams said before he passed away, they don't have Thomas Sowell on broadcast, and you won't see him on CNN or MSNBC or anything because they can't argue with him. And it's just too simple, too common sense. Mark Perry wrote a little thing back in 2017 over at the American Enterprise Institute, titled Thomas Sowell on Slavery and This Fact. There are more slaves today than were seized from Africa in four centuries. Oh, so, you know, where are the social justice warriors there? Where are the crusaders? So Mark Perry wrote in his October 18, 2017 post over at American Enterprise Institute, in his excellent book, The Thomas Sowell Reader, which I recommend very highly, Thomas Sowell provides some insightful commentary about slavery in the chapter titled Twisted History. Of all the tragic facts about the history of slavery, this is Thomas Sowell from The Thomas Sowell Reader. Of all the tragic facts about the history of slavery, the most astonishing to an American today is that although slavery was a worldwide institution for thousands of years, nowhere in the world was slavery a controversial issue prior to the 18th century. People of every race and color were enslaved and enslaved others. White people were still being bought and sold as slaves in the Ottoman Empire decades after American blacks were freed. Everyone hated the idea of being a slave, but few had any qualms about enslaving others. Slavery was just not an issue, not even among intellectuals, much less among political leaders until the 18th century. And then it was an issue only in Western civilization. Among those who turned against slavery in the 18th century were George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, and other American leaders. You could research all of the 18th century Africa or Asia or the Middle East without finding any comparable rejection of slavery there. But who is singled out for scathing criticism today? American leaders of the 18th century. Deciding that slavery was wrong was much easier than deciding what to do with millions of people from another continent, of another race, and without any historical preparation for living as free citizens in a society like that of the United States, where they were 20% of the population. And that is a very simple, insightful passage that's based on history. I mean, that echoes what Jefferson said very articulately and eloquently, for example. And then what was proved when, you know, what we would call a, you know, traditional American slave, perhaps, when those folks were interviewed in the early 20th century, which you can still find on places like YouTube. So you put those things together, Jefferson and those interviews, and you can see exactly, you know, what Jefferson foreshadowed came to pass, you know, just like Thomas Sowell wrote. Deciding that slavery was wrong was much easier than deciding what to do with millions of people from another continent, of another race, and without any historical preparation for living as free citizens in a society like that of the United States, where they were 20% of the population. And this is a much deeper issue. You know, I've talked about recently and in the past, but, you know, again recently, this issue of slavery and how it creates a pervasive mindset, and it's easier to be a slave. You know, we have the administrative fourth branch, where we've exchanged rights, God-given inalienable rights, for privileges and immunities, things like that. Why do we need a privilege that is confining versus the right, the God-given inalienable right that is not restrictive, that is basically boundless? You can travel. Versus the privilege. And by the way, since you have this privilege, you need a license and another privilege and another license and another, you know. So the slave mindset is pervasive, and you can see that in Israel coming out of Egypt in the Bible. You know, yay, we're free. Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? 10 minutes later, because they don't have the historical preparation for living as free citizens in a society. Well, you know, I mean, they were in slavery and bondage for 400 years in that case. So it has, you know, it has an effect. And so, like Thomas Sowell wrote, it's much easier to decide that it's wrong than to figure out what to do with these people who, you know, especially without any historical preparation for living as free citizens in a society like that of the United States, where they were 20% of the population. So continuing, it is clear from the private correspondence of Washington, Jefferson, and many others that their moral rejection of slavery was unambiguous. But the practical question of what to do now had them baffled. That would remain so for more than half a century. In 1862, a ship carrying slaves from Africa to Cuba, in violation of a ban on the international slave trade, was captured on the high seas by the U.S. Navy. The crew were imprisoned, and the captain was hanged in the United States, despite the fact that slavery itself was still legal at the time in Africa, Cuba, and in the United States. What does this tell us? That enslaving people was considered an abomination. But what to do with millions of people who were already enslaved was not equally clear. That question was finally answered by a war in which one life was lost, 620,000 Civil War casualties, for every six people freed, 3.9 million. One life was lost for every six people freed. Maybe that was the only answer. And again, this was anticipated by folks like Jefferson. Guys like Jefferson knew this would tear the country right down the middle. And so they wrestled with it. Continuing, Thomas Sowell wrote, "But don't pretend today that it was an easy answer, or that those who grappled with the dilemma in the 18th century were some special villains when most leaders and most people around the world saw nothing wrong with slavery. Incidentally, the September 2003 issue of National Geographic had an article about the millions of people still enslaved around the world right now. But where is the moral indignation about that?" And so, to that point, Mark Perry adds, according to the to that National Geographic article titled 21st Century Slaves, and here's an excerpt, "There are an estimated 27 million men, women, and children in the world who are enslaved, physically confined or restrained and forced to work or controlled through violence or in some way treated as property. I would say it's, you know, we could probably add about 327, or actually that's not the working population, maybe about 200 million people on the North American continent. I digress. But, you know, it's a kinder, gentler slavery, Chris, so it doesn't count. Okay. Therefore, there are more, I mean, those who dispute that, you know, try not to do something for any length of time, and then you'll feel the compulsion before you know it, you know, whether you own a house or you want to feed yourself and your family or whatever. So, continuing. "Therefore, there are more slaves today than were seized from Africa in four centuries of the transatlantic slave trade. 11 million total, and about 450,000, or 4% of the total, were brought to the United States. The modern commerce in human humans rivals illegal drug trafficking and its global reach, and in the destruction of lives." And if you get into this, you know, I mentioned Professor Tony Martin recently, you know, this week when I, well, I guess just to conclude, Mark Perry adds the note, you know, "Good question, Dr. Sowell. Where is the moral indignation about that interesting fact?" So when I mentioned Tony Martin, you know, it's a gruesome thing, I think, but when you start to investigate the history of slavery, it was very, I would say, technocratic in nature. You know, we have these people, how old are they? How much can the average person work? And it was very, you know, a very refined, you know, precise, kind of thing, you know, very mathematically precise to, I mean, kind of like you would buy anything else, you know. I need a truck for the farm, or, you know, a combine or something like that. We can get this one. This one's used. How old is it? How many miles or hours or whatever does it have on it? And, you know, how well has it been kept up? And so how much more production can we get out of this? That's how people were treated historically. And now it's a kinder, gentler slavery, but I think it still persists. And that's, you know, that's a convenient distraction, the kinder, gentler slavery, because if we would just be honest, we'd probably see how we have drifted. And there's more to that. The corruption aspect, we've allowed ourselves to be corrupted. You can't ignore that fact. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. And in other news, speaking of corruption and things like color revolution, creating rebels, you know, the revolutionaries, the radicals, Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, that kind of thing, you know, dedicated to Lucifer, the first radical, creating rebellious people instead of cultivating a meek, humble, lowly, temperate, mild spirit. Andrew Breitbart, you know, we're playing that now as the opening bump on this broadcast, is hating Breitbart introduction, which was played to introduce him at the 2012 CPAC address that he gave. And by the way, less than 30 days after he gave that address, anyway, finish this thought when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Bye. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. All right, so radicals at Beirut on the Charles, for example, a nod to John Sedgwick's 1993 article that caused quite a stir. Anyway, so speaking of the radicals, you know, there was Gene Sharp. But he didn't work with the CIA or the State Department or USAID or the Albert Einstein Institute. He didn't do any of that. He just wrote a book, and, you know, whatever people do with that book, they do. And sometimes people do crazy things, you know, like they watch a YouTube video and then they drive 500 or 600 miles to fight with people at a compound that nobody knows about. People do crazy stuff sometimes. So, speaking of the radicals, creating rebels, the institutionalization of creating radicals or rebels, the rebellious. Lately, you know, speaking of Beirut on the Charles, Serta Popovic is over at Beirut on the Charles, Harvard Kennedy School, which is, I would say, ironic. It's kind of like criminal justice, whatever. You know, it sounds like an oxymoron to me. So you can go find Serta Popovic's profile on the Harvard Kennedy School. Serta Popovic, this is astonishing. This guy's a terrorist. He's a terrorist instigator. He is the intellectual spark, as Huckabee put it, back in 2007 on the 2008 presidential campaign trail, that quote that I read every once in a while. To create havoc in the world, you need intellectuals like Serta Popovic to infect the underclass tinderbox with a mind virus so that they go out and do stupid things. Serta Popovic was one of the founders of the Serbian nonviolent resistance group Otpor. Otpor's campaign against the Serbian president Slobodan Milosevic was successful in October 2000. Another October revolution. Awesome, comrades. Congratulations. It was successful in October 2000 when thousands of protesters took to the Serbian parliament. After the revolution, Popovic served a term as member of the Serbian National Assembly. How convenient. This is his profile over at Harvard. Continuing, in 2003, Popovic and others started the Center for Applied Nonviolent Action and Strategies, CANVAS. You know, because radicals of the world need to unite, comrades. CANVAS has worked with activists from 46 different countries. Basically, this is a terrorist organization, in simple terms. And the guy who helped start it is teaching at Harvard. CANVAS has worked with activists from 46 different countries, including Zimbabwe, Burma, Iran. I thought we didn't want to radicalize Iran. I thought we were concerned. Venezuela, again, I thought we were, yeah. Spreading knowledge, right, of the nonviolent strategies and tactics used by Otpor. It's called Color Revolution, or, you know, by another name, low-intensity conflict, low-intensity operation, less-than-war kind of thing. In November 2011, Foreign Policy Magazine, yay, Council on Foreign Relations, listed Serta Popovic as one of the, quote, top 100 global thinkers. I would list him as one of the top 100 global intellectual terrorists, but that's just me. So Foreign Policy Magazine listed Serta Popovic as one of the top 100 global thinkers of 2011 for inspiring the Arab Spring protesters, speaking of color revolution. In 2012, he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I would burst out in laughter, uncontrollable laughter, if it weren't for, you know, the sobriety of this issue. In 2014, he was listed as a, quote, young global leader by the World Economic Forum in Davos, because they're our pals, right? Why do you suppose the Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum give glowing endorsements to this intellectual terrorist? Just a question. Quote, Serta is also the author of the recent book Blueprint for Revolution, a fun and humorous look at nonviolent activism worldwide. That is his bio over at Harvard, Harvard Kennedy School, John F. Kennedy School of Government at Beirut on the Charles. So, you know, when Candace Owens interviewed Dinesh D'Souza and said, you know, they talked about Dinesh's new book. That was, what, October, November of last year. And they were saying, you know, this radical element in America is in the schools. In fact, it's the most virulent in the highest levels of academia at the Ivy League places. Here's one example of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. All right, so Dinesh and Candace talked about this. When Candace Owens interviewed Dinesh D'Souza about his new book last, whenever it was. I guess I could look real fast. I think that's it. No, that's not it. Really? Come on now. Multitasking is bad for radio. So, really? Well, I'm finding the other one, but I don't think that's it. You know, I'd say it's a socialism. I guess maybe it is. Was it July? Really? I thought it was later than that. Anyway, I guess it was July. Doesn't seem right, but I guess it is. The Candace Owens Show, Dinesh D'Souza. I think that's the one. I'll have to double check. At any rate, they discussed the issue of, you know, radicalizing students. Yeah, this is it. Maybe we can even play that. Maybe we'll do that. I think it's probably a good idea. Yeah. You know, because the example that they give is definitely apropos. So let's see, where can we back this up to? Well, let's see. Let's just do this. All right. Again, multitasking, bad for radio. My apologies. Okay. Yeah, that works. So we'll play a few minutes of this here in a second. Just as a primer, you know, for those who are not familiar, and, you know, even for those of us who are, as a reminder, and this is not a new thing. You know, again, I mean, I've talked about things like the Yale Islamic Studies program that was funded, you know, a $10 million grant from a Saudi billionaire. And what do you get from Saudi Arabia? You get Wahhabism. So it's actually Wahhabi studies. That's what it is. It's not Islamic studies. And so when they started that program, I said, and I always say that, you know, Omar Aziz wrote about this, why I am offended by the Saudi grant to Yale. That's how he put it. Oh, now that's gone. Oops, sorry, we can't. This content is unavailable. Omar Aziz did not write that. Apparently, that has been scrubbed. Memory hold, effectively. I don't know, maybe it's still there. I'll have to look around later. He really did write it, though. Let's see. That was the Clarion Project article that I'm thinking of. But there was another. Yeah, the Huffington Post. Let's see. Wahhabism, Saudi Arabia, and their gift to Yale is what it was titled back in 2016 over at Huffington Post. Omar Aziz, contributor, writer, JD, candidate at Yale Law School. So I said when they started this program that it's probably going to crank out radicals. Wahhabi, Salafi, you know, radicals. And I explained how, you know, at that time you could go to the Salafi movement Wikipedia entry and see under the section titled Views on Violent Extremism that, well, let me see if I can find the old version of that real quick. Yeah, there we go. Views on Violent Extremism. Let's see. Yeah. So it used to say this, and then somehow, for some reason, this all got scrubbed. You know, I don't know why anyone would want to remove this, but because, you know, Saudi Arabia and Israel are our dearest allies in the region, which, you know, the UN Human Rights Council says are the worst human rights violators on the planet. Israel and Saudi Arabia are dearest allies. Go look, you know, specific issues. United Nations Human Rights Council Wikipedia entry, specific issues, 2.2, Israel. As of 2018, Israel has been condemned in 78 resolutions by the council since its creation in 2006, et cetera, et cetera. I've read that before. And then Saudi Arabia, candidacy issues, 3.3, Saudi Arabia. In September 2015, Faisal bin Hassan Trad, Saudi Arabia's ambassador, was elected chair of the UNHRC advisory. Aren't they still beheading people in Saudi Arabia? Isn't that what ISIS does? I think they share a religion there. It's Wahhabi, Salafi kind of flavor. Anyway, So he was elected to as chair of the UNHRC Advisory Committee, the panel that appoints independent experts. And then, you know, UN Watch Executive Director Hillel Nour said it is scandalous that the UN chose a country that has beheaded more people this year than ISIS, that was 2015, to be head of a key human rights panel. Petrodollars in politics have trumped human rights. There's more, but I'll leave it at that. So that's what came out of Yale as a result of Islamic studies. Basically, I talked about it, and you could see these kids went through, and I read a couple of things that they wrote, and they just sound, you know, they just sound like Marxist revolutionaries. So, you know, what a shame to go to a place like that and just absolutely have your mind ruined by these people. So, you know, is Harvard bad? Is Yale bad? Is the Ivy League just, you know, all corrupt? No. And that's why the deal works so well. But, you know, I suppose to borrow from C. Wright Mills, The Power Elite, 1956, you can go to the Wikipedia entry even and find these words. But Mills notes, Harvard or Yale or Princeton is not enough. The point is not Harvard, but which Harvard? Mills identifies two classes of Ivy League alumni, those initiated into the upper echelon fraternity or final club, such as Porcelain and Fly Club, and those who are not. Those so initiated, Mills continues, receive their invitations based on social links, first established in elite private preparatory academies, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and so you have those folks, and then you have these other folks that essentially, in some cases, become cannon fodder. And I suppose that's a good segue to the clip from Candace Owens' interview of Dinesh D'Souza back in last July 2020. Go ahead, please.
All racist. And why are they racist? Because they're part of a racist system. Mm-hmm. So America's racist. And not only is it racist now, but it's been racist not only since 1776, but since 1619. This is the New York Times' infamous 1619 project. So the demonization of America narrative is now put on top of the George Floyd killing. And the basic move is if you deny the narrative, you don't care about George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what intimidates people on our side. It intimidates pastors. It intimidates Republican politicians. They feel they have to genuflect before this narrative or else they'll be accused of being racist.
That's right.
Now, this narrative has been concocted and manufactured by progressives over the past century. And they have been, in the past, they had to debate it. Now they don't debate it. They just drum it into young people. And these young people don't know the counter narrative. Mm-hmm. Now, our side is actually pretty good at putting the counter fact, saying things like, well, the majority of people killed by cops are actually white.
Mm-hmm.
But a fact doesn't dispute a narrative, because a narrative is actually an interpretation of a wide body of facts. And it's really important for our side to generate counter narratives that tell the other story of America that young people are not being subjected to. This is where our universities have completely broken down. Because if you really believe the narrative, let's say you really believe this country is racist to its core, it's built on oppression, its wealth has been generated by oppression, then throwing a Molotov cocktail into a police precinct is in fact logical.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to do whatever you can by any means necessary to take down this monster.
You know what? That's actually very interesting. And I wanted to talk about that. And I just want to bring up people that are watching this. If you don't recall this incident, a Molotov cocktail was thrown into a police car in New York City. And the two people were actually arrested that threw the Molotov cocktail. And both of them were recent graduates of Yale and Princeton University, NYU Law, Yale and Princeton University in their undergrad. And I mean, these were remarkable students, immigrants.
One was Asian Indian.
It was Asian Indian, which then I just couldn't wrap my head around this. They worked at a top-tier law school, a top-tier law firm, and I could not wrap my head around what would possess these people coming to this land doing phenomenally. You know, their peers were shocked that they were caught and throwing this into a police and ruining their entire lives. They're now on, you know, they're going to have to face up for attempted murder.
So this is the thing that, ironically, if those same people had gone to a community college or a working class university, they would not have felt that way. So it's not paradoxical or strange that they got this ideology in the Ivy League or in the top-ranked university, because the top-ranked universities are the most radical. That's where this ideology is the least contested. So it's actually, in a way, predictable
right.
and normal that we have trained many of our best students to be the most subversive, the most vehement in rejecting American principles. Now, for me as an immigrant, having come to America at the age of 17, when I got to college, it was very strange to me that people saw American history in terms of sort of three brief episodes. There was the founding, which is seen as sort of
pause it there. But I mean, so Dinesh pointing out that you know that the Ivy League or the top ranked school universities are the most radical. I just mentioned Serdar Popovic at Beirut on the Charles. I read his profile there. You know, maybe we should play the clip of what's his name? Speaking of Yale, Professor Paul H. Fry. Remember, part 17, the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory, and how he said, as you get into social perspectives on literature, art, and et cetera, you may ask yourself, you know, out of idle curiosity or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? Why is it Marx who seems to stand behind, well, basically everything? And, you know, that's Yale, obviously, and this is no accident. This is no coincidence, you know, that we find Professor Fry teaching Marx basically in, you know, really trying to infect people with the Frankfurt School critical theory mind virus, and Serdar Popovic over at Harvard Kennedy School doing the same thing. Now, here's the point. The point of all of this, speaking of what I've sort of been talking to recently, yesterday I mentioned alluding to something bigger, I think, and I'm not sure I could even articulate it, but this broadcast is, I think, undergoing a seismic shift. And there is a right and a wrong way to do things, maybe. You know, there is, I mean, the Bible says to avoid even the appearance of evil. And it's a difficult situation. And I think bad guys and the devil, you know, just to sort of oversimplify, I think they understand this. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I intended, and I still do, intend to go through Plato's Allegory of the Cave from the Republic, and how deranged the escapee seems when he returns. So the slaves are in the cave, they're watching the images projected onto the opposing wall. One slave escapes, he gets out into the daylight. Plato is very descriptive in how that works. But if this guy goes back into the cave trying to free his fellow captives, then he's going to seem deranged by their standards, because he comes back in and they're saying, you know, dude, do you know all the names of these, you know, the guys on all of these teams, and, you know, all the teams and who's doing what? And he's saying, no, I don't know anything, but, you know, guys, listen to me. And they're like, what happened to you, man? You used to know, you knew all the teams, you knew all the stats, you knew all the things, man. What happened? We can't relate to you anymore. So he seems crazy, because in the context of their existence or what they think is reality, he is deranged. He's trying to share with them, and they reject it, and Plato says, you know, they'll want to kill him. It's a difficult situation. How do you relate to these people? So if you're avoiding even the appearance of evil, how do you do that in a manner, you know, if you've escaped the cave, you try to come back in and set the captives or help, you know, free the captives. How do you do that in a way that doesn't seem, you know, dishonorable or doesn't convey some appearance of evil, so to speak? And it's not a simple issue. So speaking of all of this and these revolutionaries and things, what does this do? Well, it reminds me of Proverbs 17. Couple of verses, Proverbs 17, 11, verses 11 and verse 20. A rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. And then verse 20, he who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language. Remember that article that I mentioned, an obscure Italian linguist? Cultural Marxism of Origin, how the disciples of an obscure Italian linguist subverted America. Remember that article? He who has a crooked mind finds no good, and he who is perverted in his language falls into evil. And then what? Well, right back to Benjamin Franklin yesterday. Only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more native masters. So if you want to control people and then change things around them, sort of get them out of the way, what better way to do it than this? You accomplish both things simultaneously. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having. And I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. All right, we'll go to the phones here in a second. But first, just to sort of finish this thought. So, you know, the radicalization of young minds accomplishes both objectives simultaneously. But here's the real point. Here's the bottom line in all of this. You know, we have a choice. Not sure what happened there. That was strange. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I got kicked off. I'm not sure. Maybe, I guess, you know, choice is not a word I'm supposed to say. Anyway, we have a choice. We choose freely, you know, to go along with. There is no one showing up at anyone's door holding young people hostage, you know, taking them at gunpoint away to the Yale Islamic Studies, so-called Islamic Studies program, you know, or any of these other things to go study under Serta Popovic, of all people. Oh my goodness, really? And this is not a new thing. This has been going on for so long. You know, of course, there's Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Alinsky was an academic. Dewey, Huntington, Etzioni, you know, all of these people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. This is not a new phenomenon. This is not, oh my goodness. It's not, this is not revelatory. Been going on for decades, right out in the open. And we have a choice whether to send our children to these anti-American revolutionaries infecting young minds with mind viruses. Basically, doing exactly, you know, what I mentioned from Jeffrey Steinberg's article yesterday, you know, these people basically destroying themselves, creating a society of folks. Where is that quote? The individual brings about his own disintegration, as Theodore Adorno put it in The Philosophy of Modern Music back in 1948. Isn't that exactly the story of the young people throwing Molotov cocktails from, you know, prestigious universities and law schools and law firms, and they've destroyed their lives as cannon fodder? For what? So we choose that, don't we? Don't we have the choice? As parents, don't we have the choice as young students? Maybe we should be choosing differently. You know, Joe Biden had a town hall. Even Politico, their headline was Biden resets his own COVID goalposts at CNN town hall. Politico is not, I would say, usually anti-Joe. Biden reset his own COVID goalposts at CNN town hall. What if we just, well, first of all, why don't we just shut off the screens? But what if we're trying to sort of keep abreast of these kinds of things, what if we just acknowledge the fact that there is no such thing as a CNN town hall? If there are people who seem like they are there from a town hall event, they are all screened. They are very, very diligently screened, if anything, you know, and they're, it's like a Hollywood production. Wardrobe, questions are all, I mean, what's her name? Donna Brazile. Remember I had talked about her on Fox the other day. Remember the WikiLeaks emails that showed, yeah, Donna gets the questions in advance, you know, whatever. People, sure, they're all sharing information. I mean, if we just acknowledge that's what's really going on, that I think would be a first step. And then if we respond accordingly, then I think the little facade would fall apart. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up, we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.